Hello. Very quickly, I would like to remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Like, comment, and share the videos.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Good. In the name of Jesus, I will speak right now. That was my prayer. Ready. Last time, we were in our study series, God is My Source. And in this case, God is my source of understanding. Amen. And make it for yourself. God is my source of understanding. God is my source of understanding. Amen. Say it that way. God is my source of understanding. Amen. Erica, can you make a close-up, please? Now, I'm speaking on false grace, against false grace, what false grace is, and the doctrine of false grace. But last time, as I was speaking, because I'm going to touch on a point that I was speaking on Sunday morning, the purpose of the local church. How many of you remember? The purpose of the local church. But false grace tells you things like this. Watch, let's go to Isaiah. I'll be seeing things on the Bible. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5:20, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, during these times, you will hear where everything that is holy, good, honorable, where it gives honor to God, you'll hear it as, oh, that's bad. And they'll criticize you. Because these are the times that we're living in. It's the times that the Apostle Paul mentioned through the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Disobedience to parents could be, it could be your natural fleshly parents or a parental figure or even spiritual parents. Unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Despisers of good, that's one right there. Now in verse 2 and 3 in the New Living Translation. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing to God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. You see that there? Verse 3 now. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of goodness but denying its power, they will deny that. Verse 4 and 5 in the New Living Translation, they will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Verse 5, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. as so to say, they will act like, oh, it's just church and they're Christians. And false grace will tell you that God loves you. And they'll tell you certain truths. They'll tell half truth. Have I been speaking these past weeks? God loves you independently of your works. God is good. God is not mad with you. And that's true. But they won't tell you the other part. They won't tell you that sin will harden your heart towards God. It will bring consequences because you'll give place to the devil. They won't tell you that it doesn't go with you anymore to walk in disobedience. Amen. And there's a difference, as I said on Sunday, between liberty and debauchery. Licentiousness, debauchery, synonyms of the word. As to say liberty, freedom. There's a difference. They're two completely different things. Amen. And as I was saying, the purpose of the local church, it will be most attacked as well, is, it's just church, but think in the natural, what's the purpose for our church when there's so many preachers on YouTube? That's a good reasoning, but it's not what God necessarily reasons. Talking about reasoning, the Greek word for the word is logos. But logos, you know what it means in itself? If you were to translate it from Greek to Spanish, it means reason. These are the reasons of God. These are the reasons of God. And so God reasons differently to how the world reasons. But think about this. If you and I are Christians and have the Holy Spirit, do you not think then that you and I should reason the way that God reasons and not as the world? Amen? That should be our reasoning. And doesn't matter what happens, not a single person here on this earth should be your model to follow unless that human being imitates Christ, says the Bible. Example, amen. So does it give you an example, or does it give you an example for the bad and you will imitate the bad of that person? Instead of imitating God, or imitating that person who imitates God. Did I make myself understood? I cannot imitate a person who is cold, a person who is pushed away from the things of God. I cannot imitate their life. Regardless of how much they are a brother in Christ, how much I respect them as a brother or sister in Christ, son of God, but I cannot imitate those types of people. If you understand this, then God is your source of wisdom. God is your source of discernment. Last week, during the last sessions, before finishing, I don't remember if it was either the last half hour or the last 15 minutes, but starting to close up, I started touching on this, on the purposes of the local church. What is the first purpose? Praising God in a united anointing. I can praise God, and it is good that every single one of us praise God in our home, in our car, etc. Praising God has so much to do with music as it does recognizing God. Words, amen. Words of praise and worship. And I gave some verses as well. So I'm not going to touch on those verses now, which I've already given, but I will touch on this. Psalms 107, talking about praising God and a united anointing. Verse 32. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people. Hallelujah. I don't know if I give you Psalms 27, verse 6. Now, Psalms 27, verse 6, and I'll explain more on this. Because sometimes I could say something and people still have questions. And they have questions, and they've made me questions before. Psalms 27, verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. Which is why I said, it's good that we all come and participate in praise and worship. But someone asked me, but Pastor Hugh, sometimes it's difficult with work between our midweek services. Well, I'll say it again. You know the truth in that. Amen. You know if it's true or not. I never said that it's not a lie. I'm just saying you know if there's a truth in that. That's one. That's between God and you. And then, the other clarification that I gave this person. Again, I do not know every single one of your time frames of working. But when does it come to a point where it's a lifestyle? First part, it's you know that it's true, or you're going to use it as an excuse as to say, this is what I'm trying to say. It could be that 1, 2, 3 times it's true. But other times as well, it could be that it is. But I don't know. Only you know. But you see, that's the thing. The Bible says that we should not use lies. And it's very common between Christians to lie. Amen. It's part of renewing your mind. I'll continue reminding you on these things to continue using the faith that you have of the Lord Jesus inside of you. I told you 4 things that will you use and will never fail if you use them. And there is not enough time. I wish I could use the time to repeat it again, and perhaps I will. And I will say it again. And perhaps I will teach it again in this same study series. The first one is right here. The first one. This is, again, this is the order. Because if this has not been a revelation to you, there will not be a change in your life. You have to receive a revelation. It has to be revealed to you what the unconditional love of God is and the finished works of Christ Jesus. Another way, a true revelation of the grace of God. Libertinage is not a revelation of the grace of God. Walking in disobedience, walking in libertinage is not a revelation of God. Better said, it's an excuse. Amen. But it's not a revelation. On the contrary, I'll tell you this. Grace and faith inside of you working will do the contrary. It will make you a better believer. If you're in ministry of helps, you will serve with better excellence. That's to say, it'll come out of your heart. You'll pray more. You'll seek more from the Lord. You'll be much more generous. You'll give more. That's not to say that we won't speak these truths. It's part of the biblical instruction. But you'll understand things better because you'll do it. There won't be any problems. And I'm trying to do this because for years, there were those who, they're no longer here, but they would tell me, oh, well, it's too much church for you. And actually, some of them, God bless them, but they're the ones struggling now. Pastor has his children traumatized. Well, I don't see them traumatized. They're very happy. You should see that I'm at home. We're always talking. You'll know when my children, especially my three daughters, because there's everything except silence. Because they talk, and when they talk at the same time, they'll laugh at the same time. At the same time, they'll start yelling, and they'll yell not out of anger, but they'll just yell as these are speaking. So one time I said, why are you fighting? And they said, no, we're not fighting. We're not fighting, Dad. No, and what about that screaming? No, it's you. That's how we're talking. We're just laughing and having a good time. And I realized that, yeah, one speaks and another one speaks over her. And haha, it's a loud mess. Amen. And you don't see them traumatized. Those who have spent time with them know what I'm referring to, all the contrary. And that's because they would see as, oh, well, Pastor always has them here stuck in church. But they didn't understand that I would never do anything forcing them. And that's where you stop trying to please your mundane family, your friends, the society in which you are involved, and you stop saying, no, I don't care what they think. I know what's true and what's right. And if I can influence you, well, I mean, because I've understood what this, what I'm trying to say is, I have not yielded. You know why members of my family come and visit me, come and see me preach? Friends that I had since we were 12 years old, 10 years old, 12. Some I have since we were 6 years old. You know what that is? And they still speak with me, they communicate with me, and they respect me. You know why? Because they've seen the testimony. Because they knew Ignacio Hughes before Christ. Before Christ. And there should be a God to change the demon that I once knew. Not all of them stayed with me. Not all followed a friendship with me, but many did. And that's what I'm trying to put inside of you, where the moment comes where God is much truer and much more real to you than any other person or any other circumstance or any other thing going on around you. And you will no longer let yourself be carried by people saying, oh, too much church and too much Bible and this and that. It's to the point where now the Bible is to where King James is wrong now. You know what? Like, I mean, they're going to seek everything. The devil will find everything to criticize. So, which one are you going to be of? Those who are ready to present defense? Or are you going to be involved with the others? Amen. Haven't you heard people who say, well, I don't need to go to church. I have my own relationship with God. That's a lie. If you had a relationship with God, you'd be in church. But they try to trick themselves. They trick themselves. And there's nothing worse than a Christian who is tricked. But if you are a disciple, you will not be tricked because you have the Word and you have the Holy Spirit. And you will have testimony of everything. So what did I say? Psalms 27. Number 6. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. So I already gave you that verse. So I think we saw all of them. So Psalms 96, did we see that? Yes, we saw it. Okay, thank you. Psalms 100. That as well. Okay, glory to God. The last ones. Psalms 150. And the Holy Spirit is now inside of you to help you to understand this and to understand the love of God. And you know what? It'll come to a point where you will do nothing out of obligation. You'll say, no, I want to be there. I want to change my way of thinking. I want to put what I'm being taught to work. So Psalms 150. Psalms, my apologies. Psalms 150, verse 1. I have Proverbs and 50 in the same page. I don't know if some of you have it in your Bible. It's Proverbs here and then right up top Psalms. So Psalms 150 verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So you start seeing that it's much more than just praising like you by yourself. This is more than just your personal time of praise and worship with the Lord. Now it has to do with a bodily congregational praise. Amen. So in Psalms 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord, praise. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Verse 3. Let them praise his name with dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. Let the higher praises of God be in their mouth. And except what? With their mouth. Exalt him with their mouth. Praise him. With your mouth, with your lips. Very well understood. Verse 6 is very well understood. And a two-edged sword in their hand, the word of God. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. When we praise God together, as I said again, what is the purpose? Just because it's just a religious square? No. This has to do, the last part where it says, between the nations, execute them. It's talking about in the spiritual world. Your praise, the praise that we give God, what we do, paralyzes the devil in that moment and demons and everything. Hallelujah. So there is a purpose. Now there are those who will tell you, oh, well, we don't have to go anymore. Well, who are you going to believe? God or them? God and his word or to the words of those people? Another thing that I told you is to be discipled, as we saw. Go throughout the nations and make disciples. Disciples. So what is a disciple? Someone who studies the word of God, studying the word of God. I've told you. You and I see it better. Out there, we see it in social media. I mean, they are going against the Bible now. Why do you think in this country they're fighting against? In elections would be very easy. You have two people. Forget about their personalities. You like this one more than the other. Forget it. Just see the politics of who believes what. See how much one. See who supports what. Why do you think the devil goes against children? Why does he attack the children from abortion after they're born? Then in schools, going against them with all these doctrines, these weird doctrines in the public schools. And then so much child porn. It's terrible. It's an abomination. Child porn. Adults having a relationship with a child and then they record it. And the church, in the majority, for centuries ago, just busy of prophecies and falling back. And that's it. That was it. That's all their emphasis was. And in a lot of prophecies of this, the Holy Spirit says this. Do you think the Holy Spirit is not interested in these things that are going on right now in the world? Innocent children suffering? My pastor who is in heaven spoke on these things, and many people would be bothered by this in his church. It surprised me. It didn't bother me. I've never been someone who gets offended. But it caught my attention, and I asked him. Because, you know, I grew up where, no, we shouldn't speak those things in the church. And one day I asked him, because I wanted to know, hey, pastor, so wait, when you say those things, should us Christians speak them? You know what he told me? He turned around and said, you need to pray. You have the Holy Spirit. You need to pray a lot in tongues, because I can tell you yes, but you're going to tell me that it's fine, perhaps out of respect, but you won't receive it. Totally, you have to pray in the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, the only one who will help you to understand this and to see and discern it. Because if not, you're going to be the same as those other ignorant children, where ignorant Christians were, oh, I don't like politics and I'm neither interested in it. And he told me again, perhaps there are those things where I will not say them, but you will. Oh, well, now I remember about those words now that I'm seeing all these things. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found them, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a year that they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It was for a year they assembled with the churches and taught. Now, 14. Acts 14. Look at how tremendous the teaching is here. Because there's a context to understand verse 22. There's a context there. Let's start reading from verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, observing him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." They thought that these were gods. And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was a chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing for them. So, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out. Notice this, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, I want you to see something very interesting here. You see the word having thought or supposing? In the Greek, this word supposing means considering, or better said, they observed. Because these people don't think that they just threw stones like, oh, tell that dog there, dude, he's digging up the trash and throw a stone at him. No, these people were stoning to kill, and they were big stones. It was part of that culture. Well, there are some, and I'm those who believe that way, but there are some scholars in this area that believe that Paul truly did die here. They killed him. He died being stoned. Which is why it says, better said in the Greek, could be read as observing that he was dead. Notice verse 20. However, when the students gathered around him, the disciples of Paul. Notice how 20 says, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. It's very probable that Paul was dead, and if he wasn't dead, he was on the brink of death. The point is, they gathered around him, his disciples. Why? Just to see, like, oh man, you're all messed up, Paul. Look at how bruised up you are. No, they prayed for him. But why did they pray for him? Because they knew how to pray. Because it was taught to them. Now, again. He rose up and went into the city, as to say that the disciples prayed for him. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So from Lystra to Derbe was about 20 miles, give or take from here in Douglas to Bisbee. Something similar. And he wasn't in an air-conditioned car. And when it's cold here, ooh, man. When that snow with rain falls in January, and then there's that breeze. Well, he went walking. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch after making many disciples. Notice how he wasn't discouraged after this. He wasn't scared. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying that word, confirming or exhorting, as to establish their souls with, again, with the word, with what they had at that time. Especially now, us who have an entire book. Hallelujah. 66 books. Exhorting them to continue the faith, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. There will be tribulations and persecutions, not from God, but there will be tribulations, there will be persecutions, there will be problems. Again, all of this is happening in this country not that long ago. I don't remember if perhaps Erica has the data. I just sent it to her, perhaps. But they decapitated a couple of Christians in a Muslim country. You forget it here, God forbid. I don't know. You lost a nail, your hair hurts, it's a tragedy. It's true. Twenty-six Christians, and a while ago, from here on out, they've been destroying churches, persecuting Christians. Now we don't see it here. Glory to God, and that from not seeing those things here, we do not value it. What we have is not valued, because it's right there. And human being, it's a tragedy because. Us Christians should be different, but the general Christian should be, and the disciples should be different, because we give more value to something when it's not there. Look at how in funerals, it could be family members who you don't see them their whole life, and then someone passes away and they're going to be there. It's all just pure tradition just to continue just being there in the final moments, as if the dead person realized it. You see how it's all just tradition, and we give value to everything, and then we say, and then we use the we should have valued more. Well, it's too late now. The Bible will make you honor this life. Value what God has given you, being grateful in this time. Someone say amen. Do not wait on something or someone or something better said to happen, as to say, I should have valued. You know what? Everything that I've spoken on these weeks before will change your life. It will make you be much more honorable, be thankful, giving thanks to God, to what God has given you and has placed you in, and what God has done in your life. Amen. You don't have to wait on something to be there or not to be there or not to exist, as to say, I should have done it. No.
No. We should not. That should not be with us. It should not be that way. Someone say amen. Now, I'm going to see in 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 2, my apologies. 2 Timothy 2. Yon Ver'un. The Amplified Version. 2 Timothy 2. Or 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, Paul speaking to Timothy, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right, and even when it is not, keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Notice this. Those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. Inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. Paul was saying this to Timothy, who was the pastor of the church of Ephesians. What he said there? I'll put verse 1 again. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Do you think that's very common nowadays? Where they err in doctrine or behavior? Oh, shut up. I mean, many, you can't even tell them anything anymore. Forget it. God forbid they get offended. But it's right there in the Bible. Verse 3. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction. What does a precise instruction do? That challenges them with God's truth. Challenges them. What does a precise instruction do? It will challenge your way of thinking. Remember, I'll repeat it again. Why am I on this? I said, four ways of understanding this. The first one is using the faith that you have. You have to have a revelation of the grace of God. Truly a revelation, not using grace as an excuse. Forgive me, but I don't know how to say it. I don't find a better way to say it, but that's just making yourself look stupid. That's just deceiving yourself. It's giving more place to the devil and entangling your life more. But a true revelation, saying, Father, or my apologies, but Brother Hughes, but Brother Pastor, how can I have a revelation of God? Again, truly from your heart. What God sees is your heart. Do you truly want it? Then, all it is a simple prayer. Remove all tones of voice, weird things, just with your true heart. I believe, therefore I spoke. Look, just with your heart. Father, please, by Jesus, by Christ, give me a revelation of everything. I need it in my life. Give you thanks for it. That's it. Simple as that. See that? You don't need to make a long 20-minute prayer. You don't need to throw out 10 fathers and 15 Jesus. You know what I'm referring to? Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you, Father, help me. Father, give me a revelation. Father, in the name of Jesus. You don't need all those stupidities. Forgive me, but it's just all religion is just repetitive words. You're not even listening to what words you're saying. Just by falling in the religious square. Use your words correctly. You don't, with God, you and I are naked before Him. You're trying to use my best language here. We're naked before Him. He sees everything. He knows everything inside of us. Be honest. Just like that. Father, thank you. I need a revelation, please. I thank you for it. Which is why I say right now, by Christ, don't go just saying, oh, well, God, I've been very faithful. You know, I arrive early and look, I praise you. Actually, I'm the one that claps the loudest and jumps the highest and then I fall quickly and then I kneel. Don't do that before God, please. Amen. I tell you because there are many Christians and the world who do that with God. They go in their own merits. Forget about it. But if you say, Father, please, that's what please favor means. Grace and favor are synonyms. But we use so much that word so much in our society as polite. And of course, use it when you go out with people or being educated. Say thank you. Say please. Of course, nothing's gonna happen to you if you're a man. Your masculine parts are not gonna fall off. You're not gonna be less of a man. There are those who are against the word please, and they'll tell you, oh, thank you. I was going to say something, but no. But the problem is, we use it so much that it's become a cliche. You know what a cliche is? A word that you use so much that you fall into familiarity. Amen. You repeat and repeat. It's just familiar, you know. It's a cliche. It's a saying now. It's just repetitive. There's no faith. There's no security. There's no trust or revelation. But if you say, just like that, with your heart, Father, please help me. Please, by Jesus, in me. Thank you. Please help me to understand this. I ask it with all my heart, Lord. I thank you for it. I believe I receive it. Thank you. Spirit of God, thank you that you will help me to understand these things. But you don't find that easier? Much more biblical, much more practical. The other way, you just put in a whole bunch of religion. Yeah, and you kill all the grace. Kill the prayer. Hallelujah. Now, where are we? Verse 4? We read verse 3? Again, verse 3 one more time. That challenge them with God's truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled, as to say, like, to scratch that itch that they have with something pleasing, but they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires, as those teachers, the people who choose those teachers, say, oh, this one speaks what I like. This one says, yes, I agree with this one. Oh, yeah. No, this one says that I can live like an animal. Doesn't matter. Glory to God. God loves me the same. Oh, I'll listen to this one. To where I'm even going to subscribe to their channel. To satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. Verse 4. And will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. There are the times that we're living in. Amplified classic now? 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 4 in the Amplified Classic. Thank you. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom, to that revelation of the kingdom and his coming. Verse 2. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency by stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You, as a preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. Oh, wow. Hey. What great work the Lord gives us, huh? No, I'm all good. I'm fine. Well, and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, be unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Yeah, it's a good thing that tells us that, because, you know, sometimes you get annoyed with it, and I get annoyed and then I read this, so I stay firm. Verse 3. For the time has come. It's here now. It's here now. For the time has come when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction. But having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number. Can you see that there? Chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. Verse 4, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. Or you can't even see it in the Bible anymore. Myths, man-made myths. It is true, it's a truth, that every single one of us, all of us, as you know, we have a human side, of course. We have the human side, which is the soul, where your mind, will, and emotions are at, and a human body. But I'm going to refer to the soul, where we take decisions. Truly, I believe, I'm going to say like this, none of us have done something perfectly in our life. Or, every single one of us have made a mistake. It's true. That's true. Okay? But there is another truth. There is another. And this other truth is that we have God living inside of us. And that God has left His Word for us and the Spirit of God in here to direct us, to guide us. And according to as time goes by, the years go by, we shall make less errors. Amen. That's another truth. I'm not saying that we're going to condemn anyone while we're on this, while we have this human set and be on this planet Earth. Of course, there are things that we will do incorrectly. But in comparison to years before, or in comparison to the time that has passed, we should make less errors in our lives, especially in decisions that we are going to take. Because we have the Holy Spirit. Any problem, any situation, problem, circumstance that you're going through, that I am going through, whichever, be it because we took that decision, be it because we did not follow God, we're not hearing from God. Look, brothers, sisters, I want to make this very practical for you before continuing. One of the things that is very easy for us to proclaim and pray for, again, in that spirit of faith, is discernment, spiritual discernment. It's being able to see, being able to understand things. I don't know if you've seen where we live in a selfish world, where people, especially in election time, where, oh, well, what is this kind of candidate going to promise for me? How am I going to be benefited? Instead of seeing how the country will be benefited. Do you not see that? We always think in ourselves. Then, look at how the world talks. For example, you can ask someone, hey, how many inhabitants are in the world? And quickly they'll tell you, oh, 8 billion. 9 billion. As if they've counted all of them. You see that? That's how the people speak, as if they know everything. Make an effort as to speak like this, as to say, oh, well, I don't know, but according to certain statistics or statistics on the internet, or according to. Do you realize how when I read this about Paul, what happened to him in Lystra, I said according to some scholars that I've read from certain teachers and scholars who study this that I respect. Notice how I never said that I know it because I wasn't there. But that's how the world speaks. The world is all about just boasting for themselves. Aprende a depender de Dios 100%, especialmente. depend 100% on God, especially when coming to decisions. Don't make decisions based on deductions because you deducted or reasoned something mentally. Amen. Regardless how simple the decision you're going to take is, you're from God. Amen. Don't be pressured to take decisions. Especially when people deduct things. Well, they say, oh, well, by this date, by this, this, and that will happen. So, well, we're going to do this. If God didn't tell you that, you deducted it, it's very likely that Satan will take advantage because Satan is the god of this world. He is the one that dominates the world. And here's another thing that I have to say. And with this, I'll drop again. I'll have to speak against that doctrine that is in the body of Christ, which is very famous, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is this. If something bad happens, God caused it. God permitted it. God happened. Because if a Christian is sick and then another one is healed, God knows why. Because that's the sovereignty of God. And it's very incorrectly applied, the sovereignty of God. I'll tell you a few examples of where the sovereignty of God is well applied. It's backwards when they speak on illnesses and healing. Because God wanted, he paid Jesus. Because God wanted, Jesus paid, you were healed through Jesus. Do you understand that? That's the sovereignty of God. Not that if one is sick and another dies and another is healed because God wanted. No. It's true. If it were that way, why pray? Don't pray. Just stand up. Wake up in the morning, sleep in at night, let it, whatever happens, happens. Why pray? Why seek the guidance of God if God has control of everything? God is not in control of everything. You don't know even in your own life. You don't obey God in everything. You obey in what is convenient. And I can tell you, we've all gone through things. I mean, there have been points where I say, oh, God, I know I don't want to do this. Honestly, I don't like any of this. I mean, leave me comfortably with my horse, with my calves, with my sheep, comfortably over at home between hay and all the flies. And then I'm feeding my calves and then, it smells, that their manure smells so nice. And then I turn on one of my trucks, diesel truck that I turn on. Well, it's my son's now, but I turn it on. Ooh. When it's cold, when diesel's cold, and you hit the accelerator, this big black cloud going quickly, just where the liberals could see me because you're contaminating. Hallelujah, climate change and all that. Well, leave me like that. Forget all about the rest. Believe me. Personally, I'm talking about my human side. I don't need any of this. Being in front of a camera, and I don't need anything. You see, that's not my necessity. But the moment will arrive where you love God so much, you submit to Him. Because you see, I was reasoning months ago, as I remember I told you, I said, well, you know, if these people know, they'd suppose that they already know. If they don't, if they do, they don't know. It's not my problem about faith and all that. And Nubia told me, so what are we going to do? I said, well, Nubia told me, so what are we going to do? Sell the property where we live now. And let's see who wants to stay with all this and continue pastoring the church. And you and I will go with our pastor. And then, in presence of two or three people, is the Lord present there. And then I told my children, and my children said, no, it's more than two or three. And then Nubia. And I said, well, I grabbed my Bible and went to the other house to pray. In fasting and prayer. In March 11th. As I said, I was reasoning. And he said, don't do that. Don't do decisions out of reasoning. Hallelujah. Yes, not in reasoning. But in understanding. be used to being in the presence of God, where everything is done, everything is paid for. When you're in a situation, what does the Bible say? Isaiah 53:4. He took past tense, speaking there. He suffered for our transgressions. Verse 5 at the end, and by his stripes, I was healed. Make it personal. I was healed. It's in the past. It's in the section of finished. It's all finished. Amen. Glory to God. I enter into the rest of God. Amen. Glory to God. I meditate on the scriptures. This is part of entering into the rest of God. Leave all problems, leave all issues. And you spend time with the Lord. You pray in other tongues. You come to praise God. In a congregational anointing, you leave everything out there. It's part of the rest. Hallelujah. Don't try to fix everything because you can't. I mean, years ago, I tried to fix things and I got tired. I got annoyed. I got frustrated. I got sick. And you know, I'm talking about already pastoring. I'm making your life easier so you don't have to go through what I did. I learned many things in the school of hard knocks. Up until I had to say, you know what, Lord? I fall before you. And the Lord said, it's about time. You know, I deliver everything. I throw everything on you. You take care of the rest. Glory to God. I learned to seek him more. Stop trying to please people out there, etc. Preachers and this and that. And come and I said, you know what? No more. I'm going to go out until the Lord tells me. Travel. Hesitating. Saying this, but. A while ago, a person, he's a good man of God. A missionary, that's all I'm going to say. Evangelist, missionary. He called me and he said, hey, you know what? The Lord says that you have to start traveling again. And you have to get out of your comfort zone of just being in Douglas there at church. And yeah, I know, but the Lord also told me certain things in my business and everything that I'm going to do there. Everything that I have to prepare. And I can't prepare myself. Or I can't split myself in four. And in this year, at the beginning of this year. And I reminded him, I said, he's a very understanding in the word, where he said, well, God can tell you one thing, and God lives eternally in the present, but that doesn't mean that you and I are going to go do things now. Of course, we have to wait. One thing is that God tells you, we're going to do this, and then, okay, do it now. Amen? So, I learned right on time. Why do I say right on time? Because again, after God, look, God is first before anything. Then your family, your children. And many Christians do not understand this. They don't understand. For them, it's much easier to have their children in this school system. There we go. So YouTube can cancel this again. Every time I say things like these, they put blocks on them. And even then, people keep seeing and keep searching. I mean, Facebook, I mean, at this point is, we just use it there as a side, but YouTube, man. People in English and Spanish, wow. I'll tell you something right now. Have you noticed? Well, I won't tell you just because then. It's a way that they control you, see? But my brothers and sisters, part of the things that I did correctly, and I'm not boasting myself, it's by the grace of God that I was able to reach this. But when the Lord told me there dangerous times are coming, take time, invest in your children. So I had a lot of pressure. Can I be very honest? What I hate about the energy sometimes that I have to say things out there who are even my critics and the rest of the world and all YouTube can realize, and then they would try to block me. But again, this is why I say right now, where there will be a time where I won't spend anything on YouTube. But look, here it comes. Want me to be very honest? Okay, because this will help you. I'm trying to find the way to not judge anyone, but I want to help you with this, which is why I'm speaking on these things. Because there are people, again, that have misunderstood. My God, help me, please. Help me. I'm going to put my mentors in the faith to the side for a bit. That's to say, I'm not speaking on them. Because they were honest men, and I knew them. To this day, even the one that's still here with me. After this came children of theirs, spiritual children. And children, spiritual grandchildren, if you could say it that way. Those years ago. And many of them started to sidetrack and started teaching things as the grace of God, extremes in the grace of God, extremes in faith and confession. For example, you're driving a car and then you see a house and, oh, I declare it in the name of Jesus. By faith, it's mine now. So what happened? I'm speaking again, years ago. Millions of Christians to this day, they're in debt, because to them that was prosperity. Because that's what some of them started getting, that intention or that teaching. Or here's another word, Lord help me. It's what they were. If it wasn't their intention to say, it would come out very, very nicely. Did I make myself understood? They were confusing the people. Because, again, right there in, but whatever is step is under the sole of your feet is yours. Well, there were men stepping on women stepping on men. Stupidities like that. It's true. And what happens now? Well, there are people who are on the other extreme where they criticize us now. Oh, that are those of confession, and I'll teach you through the biblically speaking doctrine with the Bible in a centered biblical understanding without exaggeration the benefits of confessing the word and not foolishness. Not, oh, well, I declare that man. And that man, you don't know if that man has been spoken where he's going to marry another person. I think in the end of the 80s, truly, this woman, from the word of faith, spiritual child of Brother Hagin. But you see, Brother Hagin was a righteous man. And if he said something incorrect, he would say, it was my mistake. There are excesses in this. We should not fall in this. He would correct himself. That's an honest man. But this woman years ago fell in love with Kenneth Copeland. She said, I call Kenneth Hagin. And she said that she got married in the spirit, because of course Brother Copeland was not there. You know how she was going to get rid of Gloria Copeland? Well, cursed her to die. Well, nothing happened because they're both here now. But that's stupidities. Another student of Rema, Brother Hagin was going to give was giving classes, and he would go in his Bronco, and he said, oh, well, you know what, I declared that Bronco of Brother Hagin is mine. Brother Hagin learned about it, and you know, he was a calm man, but don't get in between him and his Bronco. Like, you know, don't get between me and my cats. You know, from that point on, we're fine. Well, that's fine. Well, tithings of the law, well, that's fine, you believe that, just don't get in between me and my cats. Well, Brother Hagin learned about it. He said, no, don't be claiming my Bronco. It's mine. Amen. No, I'm not going to give it to anyone. Why? Because that's not a way of teaching faith. Not Brother Hagin, but this person, how this person learned it. And millions of Christians are in debt. In debt as to believing that they're blessed when they're more in debt. With financial problems, economical problems,
because they had to be blessed. Well, they didn't understand. Well, the faith without works is dead. And I'm believing that I am blessed. So let's go get a new car. Because my friend or my uncle got one. So I have to get one. I'm a faith and they're of the world. I'm a faith. Forgive me, Lord. How stupid is that? Did you bring me the what I told you to write it down? Well, I'll bring you something next. I told my wife, let's see if they believe me like this now. And I say it's to help you because what I'm trying to do is help people. All right, thank you, Lord. I went ahead of time. Oh, glory. We almost became Sasquatches with this. Stand on your feet. Glory to God. Let's give glory to God. Thank the Lord. It's the time of the joyful giver. We give with thankfulness, with joy, and we thank the Lord. And we give not because we're trying to charge or for teaching or to charge the people, but it helps us to extend the word to other people, to maintain the webpage, to edit videos, all of that. And it also helps us with television and radio in other areas. Thank you, Lord. And you help us in all areas that have to do with preaching the word of God.
You learned something from this. Don't condemn yourself if you've made mistakes. Don't learn from mistakes. That thing about experience is the best teacher. No, that's not true. It's true, we learn from experiences. But it's not the best. It's not Jesus' plan. Thank you, Lord. And this will teach you the benefits, the true benefits of confession of the word. Without yelling, without any nonsense, without making a big show, just cast it out. You're gonna get hurt. You might hurt your neck. Then you're going to be saying, oh, what happened? Nothing. I was confessing the word. Yeah, just leave it behind. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We bless you. We glorify you. We give thanks because you are good. And because forever is your good is your mercy. Lord, to those of us who still believe, because believing it is biblical, we practice it, the laws of sowing and reaping, and we give according how you have guided us, or how we decided in our hearts. And we believe that you multiply it because that's what your word says. And we give thanks because your word says that everyone give according to what they have proposed in their hearts, not out of sadness, but out of joy, because we are grateful for you. But we also consider the benefits of it. And we call that financial seed of our offering, and we tell it, multiply. Multiply according to your word. We speak the laws of sowing and reaping, that they work in our favor. They operate to our favor. We give thanks and we claim that harvest. In faith, we claim it. We're not here on foolishness or on presumption, but we believe it by faith and we believe it is done. And thank you for the Spirit of God, for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Based on what Jesus already paid. Receive our offerings, Jesus. We give thanks. We give thanks to those who are going to give a tithe or an offering. that there is no confusion, but give from your heart. And if some of you don't understand, just give whatever you desire in your heart. Let the Spirit of God talk to you. We give thanks. We give glory. Amen. We give honor, Lord. Thank you, Father.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.